chapter 24 this morning. Luke chapter 24. Earlier, we read verses 1 through verse 12. Ask now that you join me in starting in verse number 13. And we'll read through verse 35 this morning. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And dost thou not know the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and had crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the woman had said, but they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we ask as we look at your word this morning, you would speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 15, we see that Jesus drew near and he went with them. I want us to look at this thought of Jesus drawing near. When Jesus rose from the dead, he ministered to hurting people. And I want us to understand this morning as we start to look at this text and understand we read the beginning, we understand the truth that Jesus came and he died and he was buried and rose again that third day according to Scripture. The only way that we have salvation is because of the complete work of the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not found in anything else. It's only found in him and what he did for us. We can say indeed this morning that we serve and we have a living Savior today. But Jesus drew near to them. It's interesting. They knew the truth. They knew what was going to happen. We even see as we look in this portion of Scripture. He reminded them, hey, you knew this. You knew these things were going to happen. We're going to look at this. But they still were perplexed, the Scripture says. It says they were perplexed about what was taking place and what was happening. Look at verse number 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout. They were perplexed, they were confused of what was happening and what's going on. It is interesting. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, who was hurting because of the loss of her master. He appeared to Peter, who was hurting because he had denied the Lord 3 times. He appeared to the 10 of the disciples who were hurting because they ran when Jesus was arrested. He appeared to Thomas, who was hurting because of his unbelief. He appeared to as many as 500 disciples at one time. Many of these have been hurting for some reason. We see in our text, he appears to these followers, these 2 followers on the road to Emmaus. And the Bible says Jesus drew unto them that were hurting because they were perplexed, they were confused of what was happening. As we look at this, I want us to see in the first 14 verses, Jesus draws near during confusion. Jesus draws near during confusion. Now, we can sit back and we can criticize these individuals. We can sit back and criticize the disciples. We can sit back and criticize the ladies that went to the tomb. We can get back and criticize those that were perplexed on the road to Emmaus and confused about what was happening and what was going on. But let us understand this morning, even in our confusion, Jesus is there. He drew near to them. Now, they should have known better. They knew that event was going to happen. They knew that Jesus was going to be betrayed. They knew that Jesus was going to die. They knew that Jesus had to rise again. They knew all that was taking place. Yet they stood back and said, what is happening? What is going on? You know, many times in our lives, we're hurting for one reason or another. We're going through some struggles in our lives. And I don't know about you, but we're confused. We're confused about some of the maybe marital problems we're having in our families. We're confused maybe about some of the financial problems we're having in our families. We're confused about some of the problems we're having with our children in our families. We're confused about some of the other issues and other things that we face in our lives. We're confused about it. Even though Jesus tells us what? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus tells us that he will be with us. And he says that he will provide all your need if you love him. And all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. We have the commandments. We have the promises of Scripture. We know what Jesus says. He says, I'm there for you. I'm with you. You know this is going to happen. You know that you're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some tribulations. You're going to go through some struggles. We know that. We know that Jesus is going to be there. We know that we're not going to go through anything that we can't handle with his help, his strength, his power. Yet we sit back confused this morning. We sit back and we look at our world this morning. We're confused about what is happening in our world. We're confused and we're hurt by people criticizing and attacking our beliefs and what we believe. We sit back and we wonder what is going on and we're perplexed by these things. But Jesus tells us this world is not going to win. Jesus already told us he already has the victory. We understand and we know already the rest of the story, what's going to happen, what's going to take place. We already know that he has victory. We know that he had victory over the grave. We know he had victory over the devil. We know he has complete victory. We know the battle of Armageddon, what's going to happen. We know what's going to take place. But many of us sit back perplexed. We sit back confused this morning. Saying, what is happening? What's going on? Well, the Bible tells us, in the latter of the last days, we're going to live in perilous times. We know that things are going to get worse before they get better. We know that this world is going to come against us. We know that there's going to be attacks. We know that believers are going to be weak. We know that there's going to be those that want their ears tickled. We know all those things are going to happen. Don't be confused this morning. Jesus Jesus draws near during this confusion. During this confusion, we see that Jesus is there with them. He draws near to them during this time of confusion. But look at verse 15 to verse 17. We see Jesus draws near with concern. Look at verse 15 again. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus is there when you're confused, but Jesus is concerned of what you're going through, what you're facing. He says in verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? He wanted to know why the disciples were sad. He wanted to know why they were disheartened. You see, the disciples should have been what? Rejoicing. Because all the prophecy, everything that had been prophesied, you remember, they had the Old Testament scrolls. They had the recordings. They had the truths. They had what was going to happen. They knew that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They walked with Jesus. They just saw the triumphal entry. They just saw all that happened. Yet their hearts were saddened. But what does Jesus do? He draws near during their confusion. But Jesus draws near during their sadness. He's concerned about what they're facing. He's concerned about what they're struggling with, what they're going through with. He goes, why are you sad? Why are you disheartened? Why are you struggling? What do you need, my child? I'm so glad God knows and God understands that we get confused and perplexed at times. But I'm glad God actually cares about us and our feelings and what we're going through. The Bible says that Jesus has gone through similar things. He's tempted in all points as we are. We understand that he went through some times and he never sinned. We understand that. But I understand he went through some times as a human. Yes, he never lost his deity. He was 100% God, 100% man. But he went through some times that he went through some sad times. And he went through some hard times. He went through some temptations, never gave in to them. And he went through those things. Jesus is concerned about these individuals on the road to Emmaus. Jesus was concerned about his disciples, and Jesus is concerned about you and about me. You ever saw someone that was sad? What happens to your heart when you see someone sad? Your heart breaks. It ought to break with compassion. Sometimes we don't need to know what is even happening, what is going on, but it's expressed in their demeanor. It's expressed in how they act, expressed in what they do. Their facial expressions show what they're doing, and you're broken with that. How many have been somewhere and you weren't sad at all, and someone started to talk and they started to cry? What did it do to you, even though you don't even know what's going on, you don't know anything about the situation, anything? What happens to some of us because that person is crying, even though it does not relate to us? We're moved with compassion and broken because we see the sadness of someone else's heart. And let me tell you, Jesus was concerned about them because he saw the sadness of their heart. I believe Jesus is concerned about his disciples today because he sees many believers who are sad this morning. Our hearts are overwhelmed. Our hearts are been attacked, and much as pressure has been applied to us. And I tell you, many believers are in a state of mourning. Not in a state of mourning over their sin, but a state of mourning because of their confusion and because of what is happening and because what they think may happen, or they think the worst of the situations. They think the certain things, and God is concerned about what you're facing. God is concerned about what you're going through. You see, Jesus rose, and Jesus was with them during their time of confusion. Jesus showed concern for their sadness and what they're struggling with. Do you know God cares about you and me? God cares about what you're feeling this morning. Some of you have heavy hearts this morning. God's concerned about it. Now, what's interesting is this. Not only does Jesus draw near during the confusion, Jesus draws near during with concern, but Jesus draws near with correction. Now, sometimes we don't like that. You see, Jesus went to the disciples. He wanted to know what was their issues were. What were they struggling with? And then when Jesus found out what they're struggling with, and they even said to Jesus, "Are you a stranger? Do you not know what has happened?" They didn't realize who was with them. They didn't realize it was Jesus. They were concerned about what they were facing and what they were going. They didn't even see Jesus. And they said to him, "Why are you concerned? You're asking for sad. Don't you know what's taking place? Don't you know the events?" How many of us had that happen before? We had individuals come to us and say, "What's your problem? All right, you're going through some hard times. You're going through some struggles. You're going through this, and you're struggling." They say, "Well, why are you sad? Why are you doing this? Don't you know what has happened? Don't you know what you've gone through?" Look at these next verses here. Starting verse 18. "And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not all the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people." Now drop down. Look at verse 25. "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ has suffered these things and entered in glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded on them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Jesus drew near with correction. You see, what happened is Jesus listened to them. He saw the concerns, but he corrected them. He taught them about himself so that they would better understand the events that had just taken place. Jesus reminded them what? Of what they already knew. He reminded them of the scriptures of himself. He reminded them of the prophecy. He reminded them of those things. And he corrected them and says, "You are concerned, you're sad, but you don't need to be sad. Because all this was part of God's perfect plan." You see, it was not the soldiers that killed Jesus. It was you and me that put Jesus on the cross. It's because of our sin. You see, we're confused this morning, and we have some concern this morning. We have some sadness this morning. But Jesus corrects us and says, "Hey, I want you to understand, this is all part of my perfect plan. My perfect plan was I was going to send my Savior, my Son, without blemish, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to send him to this earth. And he was going to die and rise again. Don't be concerned. This is what the plan was." They need to be corrected. Because I believe that many of them looked, and you base this on the scriptures here and other texts that talk about this, they were confused and they were saying, "Well, I can't believe Judas did this." Some thoughts that went through some of their minds. Why would Judas betray him? Why would the other disciples allow them to kill Jesus? Why would all this happen? This is all part of God's plan. Many times in our lives, we need to be corrected. Because we sit back and go, "Why, God, are you allowing this in my life? Why am I going through this trial? Why am I going through this struggle?" And Jesus has to draw near during our time and correct us and get our eyes off ourselves and get our eyes back on Jesus and realize he has a purpose and plan for everything that we're going through in our lives. He has a plan and purpose even in this world today and what we're seeing going on in our government, what we see going on in the things that have happened in the politics and all the things happening. Let let me tell you, God is still in control, and there's a reason and there's a purpose for everything. And we need to be corrected this morning. We need to be told, stop crying about things that you can't change and start living the life that you're supposed to be living. Start doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, many of us get sad about things we cannot change, things we cannot go back and do over again. We need to start fresh and start living for God today. You see, they were sad about the events that happened, but the events that happened needed to take place, needed to happen. Jesus had to die. He had to rise. He had to do those things. And says, correction is, don't be sad about it. Some of the things you and I have gone through, we need to go through those. I don't know about you, but there's some things I've gone through in my life I don't wish I didn't have to go through, but I'm glad I went through. I don't want to go through some of those hard times. I didn't want to go through some of the events that have happened in my life, but I'm glad I went through those. Because you see what God had it and the purpose and the reason God had those take place in our lives. And Jesus drew near with correction. We need to be corrected sometimes. And I'm just like you. I don't like to be corrected. But I need it. And I believe every one of us need that correction in our lives. And I'm glad Jesus is there to correct us. All Scripture is given. And why is Scripture given? For reproof. For correction. The Scripture is given what? To get our attention, to grab a hold of us, to help us see what we need to change and get a different view, get a different look at things. Some of us need to find ourselves back at the feet of Jesus and get a new glimpse of Jesus and get a new change in our life to get a new focus and look at the right things this morning. Jesus drew near to these individuals on this road. He drew near to the disciples. He drew near to them. He drew near during their confusion. He drew near during their concern. He drew near with correction. But look at verses 28. We see Jesus draws near with comfort. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of his sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us all the Scriptures? The disciples were comforted by Jesus' appearance. You know what's interesting? He drew near with comfort. He opened their eyes and they saw Jesus. They said, didn't our hearts burn when we were talking with him? Didn't our hearts burn when he shared the Scriptures? Did we not understand? This is a good heartburn, by the way. Did we not understand? Did we not see this? And Jesus appeared to them. Jesus came to them. And you see that when they were in their sadness and they were corrected, Jesus took them and Jesus comforted them and they saw Jesus. You know what comfort we need this morning? I'm glad we have friends. I'm glad we have a church family. I'm glad we have other individuals that we know that help comfort us during our struggles and during the things we're facing. But I'm glad Jesus is there to comfort us. And we need our eyes open. It is interesting. They were with Jesus for a while, yet they didn't know who they were with. But it says, he opened their eyes. Now it's interesting. We were all dead in the trespasses of our sins. Every one of us is born a sinner. Not one of us have done any good in our lives. All our righteousness is filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are sinners. We didn't know any better but to sin. But God, who is rich in his grace and his mercy, opened our eyes, drew us unto himself for us to see our need of a Savior. And if you're here this morning and you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to let you know that God loved you so much. He sent his Son, and he wants to save you this morning, and he wants to open your eyes. He wants to draw you unto himself. He wants to save your soul. You must repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him, and he will save you. And I want us to understand that Jesus died, but he rose again and offers the only way of salvation. But I want us as believers to be comforted this morning. This is how those who are not in Christ can be comforted. But let us be comforted this morning, that just as those who are dead in the trespass of sin, eyes have to be open, we need to see Jesus this morning as believers, those that are saved. We need to see Jesus, because Jesus is there with us. Yet we're going through life thinking we're all alone. We're going through it and we need to be corrected. We need to get back on the right path. We need to get those things. But let me remind each of us this morning that we need to get a fresh look of Jesus and realize that he's there with us. You remember those in the fiery furnace? They threw three in the fiery furnace. But when they looked in the fiery furnace, there wasn't three in the fiery furnace. There was four in the fiery furnace. And that one was Jesus that was with them during their fire that they were going through. And I want us to understand this morning, Jesus draws near with comfort. He's there for you. He's there for me. He wants to help you. He wants to give you all that you need to be able to live that life that is pleasing in his sight. He wants you to see those things. Jesus draws near. We understand that he was ascending to heaven, and there was concern about now what. But Jesus said this, I'll send another comforter. Jesus draws near with comfort because he sent us a comforter. That comforter is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says once you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells within you. You and I are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit who leads, guides, directs, and comforts us in our lives. God has given us his Holy Spirit, but God has also given us his Word. And in his Word and through the Holy Spirit, we can find comfort. We can find the strength that we need in our lives. Jesus draws near. Sometimes things don't make sense to us, even though we know the truth. But let's be comforted. God knows what is best for our lives. And he's going to be there to help us through whatever we face in our lives. We just need to turn to him and see Jesus. Many in this room and many in our world look back the past several years and wish some of these events that we've seen and been through would never have happened and never taken place. But I want you to understand, as we've gone through some of the things we've faced, we might have been confused about it, but Jesus was concerned for us during it. And Jesus corrected some of us, and Jesus was there to comfort us purpose and reason for even what we face the last few years of our lives. Now, it's interesting. The disciples were given all that. They found that comfort. But they still, at times, as you would read through Scripture, had their struggles too. And I believe many of us know these truths that we looked at this morning, but we still have some struggles sometimes in our lives. And we just need to get a refresh look, a fresh look back at Jesus again. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is there for us because we serve a risen Savior. See, he left this world. He sent us another comforter. But a truth we looked at even in the breakfast and service we had is this. He is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He is there in heaven. He is still on the throne. He's preparing a place for us. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Later on, it repeats that thought of let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't be concerned. God is in control, and God's preparing a place. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. He's preparing a place for those that put their faith and trust in him. And he's there for us. And the Bible says that we can call upon him at any time. And he's there for us in our lives. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence.